Tonight on AfterBuzz TV's Thursday Night Football After Show, we break down AFC East division battle, Jets versus Bills, and look into this Sunday's action, so stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I meant to bring the Jets flag for the Jets fans. I have one of those.
Crowd is loud. We know you're loud because you are stoked. Green lights
in
the
sky. Yeah, look at that.
Because we are finally bringing you Thursday Night Football here at AfterBuzz TV. You're watching live on AfterBuzz TV, YouTube page, iTunes, SoundCloud. You're liking, subscribing, telling the world about AfterBuzz TV. What's up, everybody? I'm Josh Tariff, breaking down Thursday Night Football this week. I got the group with me. This is the crew that's going to break down football every Thursday night for you. Directly to my left, it is Miss JJ Juergens.
Hi, guys.
Over on the other side, we got Jill Monroe.
Hello.
And Mr. Michael Rippey.
Thank you. It's good.
So, guys, week two of the NFL officially kicks off tonight. AFC East battle, Jets, Bills. Jets with the win, 37-31, but it really felt like a much bigger win than that.
Yeah, absolutely right. I mean, the Jets dominated the action for most of the game.
You know, I was surprised that it was as close as it was at various parts. I really thought that, you know, after about the first quarter that somebody was going to run away with it. I actually was thinking that it was going to be like the last four times, and it was going to be the Bills. So it was a really good game that you had to watch all the way to the end.
Yeah, I thought a great way to kick it off, a great show for us to be able to kick off with because there are so many great things to talk about. And with it being back and forth like close like that, it made for a lot of great moments.
And normally I would say Thursday night football games are not that exciting. I thought tonight there was a lot of plays that were big and there was a lot of excitement.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And it started off like, oh, we're going to have a shootout right away. Tyrod Taylor with an 84-yard touchdown pass. With one of the first plays of the game.
It went so high in the air that the camera guy didn't even catch it. It was just out of the screen, then in the screen, Bills receiver in the end zone.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good win with the 84-yard touchdown grab there. So all of a sudden we're like, okay, this is going to be an interesting game.
Yeah. About time.
But then, most teams, all of a sudden, that long of a bomb, that early in the game, you get frazzled. But the Jets, with veteran leadership, steadied the course, calmed themselves down, and had one of the most balanced games that I remember seeing from a team.
On a short week, it was a good game plan from Todd Bowles and the Jets, and they moved around through the air and on the ground, and they really were the superior team.
You think they're happy that Ryan Fitzpatrick finally signed that contract?
Yeah, I think so.
He was on fire tonight. I mean, the guy could do no wrong. He looked amazing. Thought it was very interesting in the first quarter that he didn't really go much to Decker or Marshall, but they sure came alive in the rest of the game.
Yeah, that's a good point. At the start, they utilized unknown receiver Quincy Enunwa, and he was big. He was catching everything at the start. And that's a exciting moment for Jets fans if you have that third receiver to go with Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker.
And you know millions of people who play fantasy football are like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
Who is he? We must add him.
Who can I drop?
His percentage ownership is going up.
It's
going
to skyrocket tonight.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick, journeyman. We were thinking, how many teams has he played on? And it's really been like six, seven teams.
And Buffalo is one of them.
So. Right. And the Jets have lost their last five games against the Bills.
And Rex Ryan.
Come in today with a balanced offense. And really, it was, the veterans. A lot of guys that they're saying, hey, these guys are definitely going to be slowing down. Like Brandon Marshall, 6 catches, 101 yards tonight. And there was a point where it looked like he almost tore his ACL and came right back on the field and dominated afterwards.
That was a big moment because early in the second quarter, it did look like there was a serious potentially injury for Brandon Marshall, but he only left the field for couple plays, made it back, and still had a huge impact on the game.
We're going to really have to see how he turns out tomorrow, though, especially, you know.
He'll be nice and sore tomorrow.
It's a short week. It's a short week. So I think about that with players, especially when stuff like that happens. Fatigue, it's, you know, this early in the season. They just played Sunday. They're just getting into the flow of the season. So that's something that you're going to have to kind of watch for. Marshall is an older player. So.
But it's also, on the positive side of that, they had a short week here, which means they have a longer break. Which, so he has more time to rest heading to the following
which
game.
Which, if you win the Thursday night game, is nice. Get that extra rest. You already won. You get that rest. And this was a big game for both Buffalo and New York, not just because it was a division game, but they had both lost week one. So you don't want to go to 0-2, especially when their schedule gets tough for both teams.
Both teams' schedule is pretty rocky, more so for the Jets. So for me, just them winning really kind of sets them up for the season. And I'm sure they still were dealing with the heartbreak of the end of last season with the Bills being the ones to knock them out of their playoff contention.
Oh, so revenge was definitely on their mind.
Yeah. There was such an interesting percentage, too, with teams that go 0-2 at the beginning. They only have a 14% chance of making the playoffs versus if you win the 1-2, then you have a 40%. That's a big percentage jump.
Well, let's talk about Buffalo, you know, while we're on a subject that. Because Buffalo was coming in this season with a lot of positive expectations. A lot of people felt they were making the right moves. Tyrod Taylor come back healthy.
$92 million.
They got to play spoiler last year for the Jets, try to use that momentum heading into the season. Rex Ryan, definitely job on the line, need to, you know, perform well. And they did not show up at all in week one. And then week two, they scored, but their defense just wasn't there to stop the Jets.
And the thing about that is that when you've always thought about Rex Ryan, what Rex Ryan made his name on was defense.
Right.
And so if your team is going to score 31 points and you're Rex Ryan, your team has to win that football game.
And have you noticed with Rex, I'm sorry,
no,
JJ,
go for
but
it.
Just that the balance so far with his teams has been really one-sided. It's either been when he was still with the Jets, sort of the defense sort of came together, but the offense, not so much. I know he hasn't had great players. And it seems to be with the Bills that he's managed to get a handle on the offense, but his specialty, to your point, hasn't locked in.
It's gone the reverse way that you would think of. And it's one of the things about Rex Ryan that has been seen from his days with the Jets that realistically, every team that Rex Ryan takes over, his team progressively gets worse year in, year out. It goes downhill instead of uphill. So, and it looks like that's what's happening with this Bills team. They're off to an 0-2 start. They have, you know, struggle straight ahead. So,
yeah, and you have the talented players. You got LeSean McCoy tonight, 59 yards. Not really much of a factor tonight.
Yep.
And so you got to play that out. You still scored 31 points. Now, one of those touchdowns was from a great fumble recovery.
That's right. Yes.
But you got to balance that out. And again, Rex Ryan, defensive genius. No excuse to give up 37 points.
I want to ask you guys, what do you think, given that, what you just stated, what do you think about him bringing his brother on, Rob, who does not have a good record, you know, has been fired by two teams and has one of the lowest ranking defenses ever? I mean, how do you justify bringing him on to your team?
It's a brother trying to give brother another job.
Well, I know, but how do you explain that to the people that pay for, you know, that run this?
Honestly, comes down to just family first.
I remember several years ago, my brother was in between jobs. He crashed on my couch a little bit, gave him a place to stay while he kind of rebuilt, and now he's making far more money than I am. But besides that, this is all it is. Rob Ryan failed in New Orleans, failed in Dallas, failed wherever else he's been, really.
He's failing currently in Buffalo.
Yeah. And he just gave up 37 points.
On a short week.
And he's gaining weight.
Yeah, I mean, if this is my business, I don't have room for that. Out, you know? Like,
yeah.
At the end of the day, his name is still on the line. He's the head coach, you know? He's got to make these decisions.
Who would be, if someone got fired mid-season, who would get it first, Rob Ryan or Rex Ryan?
Well, they both go at the same time.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's a good point, though. Job is on the line, and I think that Rex is putting himself in a position to easily be maybe the first NFL head coach fired this season.
could very well be. I mean, they continue this. What you had their schedule the next few weeks. Who do they play coming up here?
So for the Bills,
next week they're going to be home again, but the Arizona Cardinals. Comes to town.
Yeah, and they deal with the Cardinals next week.
They're pissed after week one.
Arizona can't afford week to one. Lose many games, mm-hmm. and they're always prepared with under Bruce Arians. So that's already a tough one for Buffalo. Not only that, we didn't talk about that Sammy Watkins. Their big playmaker was very silent today and looks...
Well, he's still coming back from injury, yeah. so I like think he's still could, working himself back.
He looks like he could still be hurt, which is another potential problem for them. They got most of their points tonight from big plays. I was thinking they should be called the Big Play Bills because they got the long touchdown at the start to Marquise Goodwin. They got that other touchdown on third down for 71
yards. Yeah.
And then they got the defensive touchdown where they returned the fumble. So... if you eliminate a few plays, they were really, really poor tonight.
Yeah.
Bills' upcoming games, they have Arizona next week. They have the Patriots, no Tom Brady, at New England. They have the Rams and then the 49ers at home. So
that's best case scenario, 2-4.
Yeah.
And if they're not 2-4, if they're 1-5, Rex Ryan's fired.
And I think the likelihood is that 1-5.
Yeah. Well, it's also the thing about Rex, too, is Rex has always been brash and brazen and just talks a big game. Mm-hmm. When you talk a big game and you can't back it up continuously, I feel like your team checks out.
Yeah.
And especially start off 0-2, that's a big, tough spot to be in.
He tried to motivate his team. I don't know if you saw some clips of the speech where he was talking to his team. It was profanity laced, lots of F-bombs, where he basically said that his job is on the line and sort of motivated them to step up.
Would that motivate you? To me, that would put too much more pressure on me. It's like, hey, someone's like livelihood. It's like, hey, I'm watching out for myself right now because I don't want to get cut.
That was actually a big criticism about that speech, was that people felt that he made it too much about himself and that it should have been about his players and his team, and it was more about his ass on the line.
Well, I feel like with Rex always being known sort of as the player's coach, so to speak, that is sort of the way he talks to his guys, sort of, you know, I'm there for you. I always stand up for you. So now I kind of need you to run through that wall for me so that we can keep this going. But obviously it kind of didn't work out that way this week.
Speaking of the game, though, what did you think about the uniforms on the teams?
That's right, because now we got the color rush to help people who are colorblind identify who's on whose team.
Also just another way for the NFL to make money and market.
Well, actually, 100% of the proceeds from the Color Rush uniform sales go to the NFL Foundation, which is for youth sports and, you know, sort of tackling that little concussion issue that they're going through.
To further that, the first $500,000 raised is going to towards the residents in Louisiana replace the football equipment and the fields that were lost in the summer floods, which is good.
That's all good, but let's actually bring up, you brought up a great point that I didn't think of with the concussion issue. So last week, Cam Newton got destroyed. Helmet hits over and over and over again. Stayed in the game the whole time. Tonight, Tyrod Taylor took a shot, and the refs took him out of the game. Like, no, you got to get checked out now. I mean, it's clearly backlash from all the negative press they got the following week. Tyrod Taylor was fine, came back in a few plays later. But should it be, like, shouldn't the trainers really go out there first before the refs are pushing him off the field?
You would think so. I mean, it's a great point, but I feel like, to your point, everyone is overreacting, they're overcorrecting actions based off of what we saw on Sunday in week one, all of the, you know, conversation that is happening and the protecting of the players. So I think that to be safe, to avoid, I guess, the back end criticism, we all know how many hits the NFL is taking for various things at this time. So
it was a massive hit too. I mean, he had three guys to one and his head just snapped back at the end of it. So it was. I mean, I can kind of see where they're coming from on that one. It wasn't like it was a light hit, you know.
On the field, but perhaps that maybe he looked a little off to them.
I think the way he kind of fell did in the replay anyway. But I don't know. I think they're probably just a little nervous too of what had happened previously.
Well, Michael, what do you think?
I think the NFL in general has been very reactionary with most of their protocols, rules, and everything when it comes to concussions and hits. So I think it's just another reaction to last week. And trying to make it seem like they care or they're more concerned. But I don't think that they come out ahead of it. I think they come, they always come from like behind it. They're always late to the party.
Reactionary.
Or, yeah, mm-hmm. I think everything that they do is in reaction as opposed to being like ahead of it. Even though they're trying to be a little bit better about it, I don't know. I think it was just because of last week.
And it could very well be. I mean, we're talking a lot of like, you know, negative things, bad things, because it's mainly pertaining about Buffalo. Let's get a little positive. Let's talk about the Jets. Because, again, we were kind of touched at the beginning of the show. They're balanced offense. So tonight, you had Eric Decker, 6 catches, 126 yards, and a touchdown. Marshall, we mentioned, 6 catches, 101 yards.
With one really bad drop, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With one really bad drop out there for Brandon Marshall.
Inunua? Is that how you pronounce it?
Quincy Inunua.
Quincy Inunua, 6 catches, 92 yards. No one's ever heard of him until tonight.
Hello, Quincy. Welcome.
And then you got Matt Forte. Matt Forte, yes. Chicago didn't want to keep him because they felt his time was up. He's 30 years old, going to be 31 as the season goes on.
His time did not look like it was up tonight.
No.
He looked 100 great. Rushing, tight. 100 Stella. On the dot, 3 rushing TDs. First Jet since Curtis Martin in the year 2000 to have at least 100 yards and 3 touchdowns on the road.
That's an amazing game.
Yeah. These are the athlete stories I love, and there was 2 of them for me tonight. It's that and Fitzpatrick, who in the last game he threw for 3 picks, and then to come back and get your revenge and you know play as well as he did, and then for this one to have people say you're washed up, you're done, you know shouldn't be playing, and then to come out like that. Those are the reasons like I love watching sports and such great moments for fans.
Yeah, I mean, Matt Forte proved that he is still an elite running back.
Absolutely.
And he is known as the running back who, one of the best receiving running backs in the NFL. Tonight only had 2 catches for 9 yards.
Exactly.
He ran the ball through Buffalo all night.
My only concern about Matt Forte is, can he hold up over a 16-game season if he's getting the ball and running it 25 times a game? Because that's a pounding as a running back to take. And it's early in the season. He is older. So we'd have to see as it goes along. But he had a great game tonight.
But if the Jets continue with this type of balanced offense, I think that you can ride him a little bit to that sort of throughout the season like that. Because if it's spread out, then there'll be moments where he'll be able to rest and sort of get back sort of his balanced game as a, you know, older guy.
And so the Jets are 1-1 now. They had the nail biter in week 1.
They did.
Even though technically it was a 1-score victory tonight, felt like a lot more.
It did. It didn't feel like it was a 6-point game that came down to an onside kick, but it did feel like the Jets were in complete control of the game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then what is the Jets' schedule the next few weeks?
The Jets' schedule over the next few weeks. Yeah. Next
week they travel to Kansas City.
Yes, they do.
That's going to be a tough one.
It's a tough place to play, but they do have the extra time to prepare
and rest.
The Jets' schedule after that, that's why I feel like it was so crucial for them to win this game because, as you said, they're at Kansas City next week. The week after that is against Seattle, then at Pittsburgh, and then at Arizona.
Brutal.
So it's a brutal schedule. If they hadn't won this, I'm not really sure where they would have netted out because those next 4 to 5 games.
I mean, they could legitimately lose all those games, but nobody can be mad at them for that because those are for the best teams in the NFL.
I think they're going to come out of those 1-3 or 2-2.
Right.
Because the Jets are right there, you know, playoff contenders. They've got the players. They've got a decent coach. And now that they've got a win under their belts, they've got some momentum.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit fantasy. A little fantasy football based on players tonight. We kind of touch on some of the players' big days. Fantasy-wise, You're happy if you had any of these players starting. I mean, I know a friend of mine had Tyrod Taylor in, even though he did throw that interception.
He had a good game. 3 touchdown passes.
Yeah, 3 touchdown passes. Typical fantasy scoring would have had about 30.5 points tonight. Forte, top scorer tonight with 31. You had Ryan Fitzpatrick with 23. Eric Decker, thanks to the touchdown, with 24.5 points. Goodwin and Salas, the two guys who caught the long touchdown passes for Taylor, both ended with 19 apiece.
I'd be surprised if anybody had those two players on
the
roster.
Again, those are guys that people are going to be looking up, especially if Watkins is still hurt.
Right.
Yeah. Obviously, look, okay, well, these guys are other options to have.
Absolutely.
I gotta say, Salas's dive was probably one of my favorite moments as well. Yeah, that was amazing. To the end zone.
Great dive. Yeah. He landed it well. I noticed that too. That
as soon as he dove, I was thinking he's gonna drop the ball.
I did too. I thought
he's
was
drop the ball before it goes in the end zone.
He's a former Jet too.
That felt good to him.
Yeah, this probably went for that a little extra.
You guys want to check out that highlight? It's on my Twitter at Stiletto Jill.
Talking about a little extra, not to cut off your fantasy, but what do you guys think about the taunting calls tonight?
I think that the refs are just trying to pull it back. They're trying to rein in control. I think they're trying to set the tone for the season. I'm a trash talker. I like a little bit of trash talk. I think it enhances the game. I think it's necessary. You don't go that hard and put that much physical effort in not to say, hey, I'm better than you. You know, just a little bit.
Is that your trash talking? Hey, I'm better than you.
No, that's just me being, you know, the PC version of it. Let's just, say how deep it can get. But I like a little bit of trash talk. I think that it enhances the game. I like that.
And well, speaking of taunting, they instituted a new rule this season where if you get two of those taunting penalties, you get ejected. So it's something that we'll have to see how it plays out during the season if anyone actually ends up getting ejected for taunting.
It's two in the same game.
Two in the same game, exactly. So those players, that's why now the referee has to announce that so-and-so got this penalty. If he gets one more, he'll be ejected.
I almost feel like with those things, if we're doing it like that, they should also, in the NBA, you know, if you get X amount of technicals or X amount of flagrants, you automatically get suspended for a game. So, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily do it with the taunting, but maybe the personal foul penalties. You get six, seven personal foul penalties in the course of the season, you're out the next game.
Yeah. Well, the one difference, I guess, with the NFL, especially compared to these other sports, is that the NFL, each game means so much more because there's so few of them.
Sure.
Comparatively. But I feel like it is like the NFL's way of making like a yellow card system. It's like two yellow cards, you're out.
Well, let's get in. JJ, Jill, you guys apparently have some gossip.
Go ahead and start,
NFL
lady.
Gossip.
Just a little bit. You know, Rex Ryan, his weight has been a subject of conversation. I remember a couple of years back.
I talk about it all the time.
I mean, when I personally became a fan of Rex Ryan, with Hard Knocks, when he was like, let's go get some effing snacks. I'm all about the snacks. All about going to get some snacks. And Rex probably had a few too many, and so he got the lap band. But he's recently gotten the lap band removed because he wants to keep his brother Rob company, because Rob is depressed and gained a couple of pounds. So apparently your brother gaining weight with you is a good thing.
Well, I guess they were supposed to, wasn't he doing it to try to motivate that they could lose this weight together?
But, and Rex said he's already gained 30 pounds.
Yeah.
Since he took out the lap band?
Yes.
I think in general he's just going to have to start cutting his brother off, because he's just hungry. Bringing him down in all aspects.
Hungry, man.
Why? What kind of family bonding is that exactly?
What kind of procedure removes the lap band?
Yeah, like, I didn't even know you could do that.
Well, it's just like a little band, and it goes around your stomach, so it just restricts, I guess, the amount of food and how far it can expand. So if you take it off, it just goes back to normal.
Now we can go to buffets with his brother again.
You know?
Buffalo diners are happy.
Yes.
That's the real winner here.
Realistically, how many games do you... How short of a leash do you think that... Rex has this season?
I think if he's worse than 2-4, he's gone.
Well, when's their bye week? Because usually changes with the coach happen during a bye week or off of a bye week. So depending on when that is during the season,
I'm gonna pull it up right now.
Would be a good time, because usually that's a time when they make changes.
Let me see when they would have it. So it looks like they have a late
bye. So then probably not then for Buffalo, but. It depends each organization, but I think Rex, this is it. I think this is his last season.
Unless they have some miraculous playoff push, it's definitely going to be his last season, if he lasts the entire season. I don't foresee that happening. Was there any news?
Yeah, a couple more gossip.
Go for it.
Well, just New Era took over the field for this game, or for this year. And before the game, they offered fans that they could get free body painting. So they would spray paint fans in blue or red for the colors. So that was a little fun tidbit for the fans at the game today. Another one, since Eric Decker had such a big game, we can talk a little bit about his wife. She was putting out tweets today saying she was out there pitching new shows in New York City again. So people can she said, I know, she asked, what shows do you want to see people? And she said, I know you want Eric and Jesse.
Absolutely.
Game on season three, but she said, other than that.
How many seasons have they done together?
They've done two, right? So we're waiting on season three.
Do we, I actually
do we
missed
watch
it.
The show?
I watched season one, I'm not going to lie, because I love those two. She's highly entertaining to me, and I'm a big country music fan. So yeah, and I like them. If you guys, if I did you guys not are, see season two
yeah,
yet,
if
though.
You guys are watching, tell us how it is in the comments.
Let
yeah,
us
I,
know.
I think
I missed it.
Mark, our engineer, we do an after. We have done an afterbus yeah. for that show, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, for which show?
For the Eric Decker show. What
Eric and Jesse Game On. It's on E!
Not sure.
I think we did. They took a little. I think they took the season off because she had another or she had a baby.
Yeah, I apologize. We have so many reality shows. So much wonderful content. Here.
A lot going on.
There's so much to keep up with.
To get it mixed up.
by the way, Buffalo bye week is week 10. So they have a later bye week.
So I would say that if Rex makes it to the bye week and they're having an atrocious season, he'll definitely be fired by then. But mm-hmm.
I think it'll be sooner than that.
Yeah, I can't see him making it.
At the way they're going right now, that's pretty
really awesome. Quick, can we talk about one down spot for the Jets?
Yeah.
Can we talk about Revis Island being sold, that it's no longer in effect?
I don't think there's an island anymore.
It's
more
kind
like
of a suburb.
A peninsula, maybe?
A plateau?
It's gone, and it really hurt my heart because I feel like Darrell Revis manipulated free agency better than anybody I've ever seen.
Yeah.
He bet on himself. He took short deals, got his cash, got a ring, spent that dead season in Tampa, and came back to the Jets. Just he gets $17 million this season, and he's chilling and getting burnt play after play. So I just wanted to mention that.
How do you feel?
I feel like it's good to be king.
What trash talk would you give him?
Hey, Darrell Revis, you're not as good as you used to be. Take that.
Take that, Darrell Revis. Well, along with like your $17 million.
Yeah, that was my best Jill impression right there.
Hey, it can get dirty. We're just giving him the benefit of the doubt because we respect the game plan. We just want him to know that, it's time to think about maybe, post-career moves.
I like that his team's not giving up on him, though. After the game, Brandon Marshall was still very supportive of him.
The next we'll move for Revis is going to be moving to safety. He was talking
about
this
in the offseason.
Right?
Yeah.
I think he already knew he was losing a step, so he'll move to safety.
He'll lose a step.
He lost a few steps. However, you got to say, he was burnt by Marquise Goodwin, who's probably the fastest guy in the NFL. He was in the Olympics.
Yeah.
So, long jump.
So he can't get mad at Revis for that play.
I mean, he's really fast.
His 40 time is like a track star.
It's just bad timing when everyone's talking about what happened to Revis in week one and then this first play in week two.
And it definitely does put you on notice and on blast. So now when people look at the other wide receivers, are like, I can go against Revis. I mean, he's getting taken by anybody. And other offensive coordinators can look at the game plan and say, we want to visit Revis Island.
Yeah, what type of fantasy advice do you have for those that have Revis on their team?
Well, for the most part, they would have the Jets defense. Not many leagues these days tend to draft individual defensive players.
Sure.
Some do, but for the most part, they just draft the defense and special teams. Where tonight, Buffalo would have had the better game in that respect because of the fumble recovery touchdown.
I'm learning so much about fantasy football. I do not play, but I might be encouraged.
Well, you know what? We're going to give you a little more breakdown because now let's break down some of the games happening this Sunday and some fantasy players to look out for.
Let's do it.
So right off the bat, I'm gonna mention one guy that I think people should really watch out for, and it's also my upset of the week, and that would be Gary Barnage of the Browns, tight end for the Browns, because Josh McCown is back at quarterback.
Cleveland's playing against?
Baltimore.
Oh, that's a rivalry.
They're home against a rival, the Ravens. RG3 injured. Shocker. McCown is back in, and Barnage only has great games when McCown is throwing to him. Barnage could easily have 80 yards and a score, and I honestly think the Browns are going to win this game.
Thursday Night Football, AFC.
Oh, that was me trying to.
I don't know what that was.
Check thing. I don't know. let's see.
Jill's iPad is doing stuff. It was so shocked that I said the Browns are going to win that the iPad started technology.
I was trying to get the in the chat room to see what you guys are saying. But
not many people think the Browns will win any game, but I'm picking them to win this game.
It's a good call, though, no, because last season when Gary Barnage and Josh McGowan played together, they were one of the dynamic duos. Gary Barnage, one of the top tight ends in fantasy all season long with Josh McGowan at quarterback. And I think that for the Browns, having Josh McGowan in at quarterback is actually going to be an improvement to Robert Griffin III. So I actually think some people think that, you know, this will be a loss for the Browns. I think it's going to be a gain.
Yeah, no, I agree. McGowan, when he's healthy, leads that offense. And now, I mean, no more Travis Benjamin, but now they have Terrell Pryor, who week one showed some promise.
Not bad.
I think he'll get a touchdown this week, too.
And they have Corey Coleman. And then in week five, Josh Gordon will finally return.
Yeah, which then we'll really see what happens. Yep. But so that's my one key player to watch out for. And on a side note, then I would say anybody on Arizona. just anyone on that team, because they're so angry that they got humiliated at home Sunday Night Football against no Brady, no Gronk, no Nikovich, no, and there was one other
nice
guy.
Nice inclusion.
Yeah, and there was one other big role player who was out too. Cardinals should have won that game by like 3 scores,
yeah,
and they lost to a backup quarterback on his first game, primetime. Well, they missed a field goal. It shouldn't have been that close, though.
Agreed. They. I think that the Cardinals came, you know, thinking they were just going to win just by showing up, and you can't do that against a Bill Belichick led team.
Yeah. And this week they're at home against Tampa, who is looking better.
That's a sneaky. I mean,
Tampa's a sneaky team.
Arizona's has been shown.
Jameis had he announced himself in week one. He had 4 touchdowns. Yeah. Tampa Bay looked amazing. Mike Evans was great. So that's going to be a shootout in the desert.
It will be a shootout, but Arizona's still favored by 7. Oh. And I mean, I can see Palmer with 3 touchdowns. David Johnson have a good game.
Fantasy points galore. I love David Johnson in that game.
Yeah.
Larry Fitzgerald looked fantastic in week one. He's a legendary player. Mm-hmm. He should have another strong game. So.
Yeah. So those are my key fantasy players to look out for. What about you guys? What do you have?
I would say I'd look to the Pittsburgh game.
Okay.
Pittsburgh and Baltimore. Not Baltimore. It's Pittsburgh and Cincinnati.
Yeah.
The other division rivals. They're going to be playing, and they hate each other. Yep. So I'm looking at that game, and I'm looking at D'Angelo Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Really like D'Angelo Williams at running back.
Well, after what he did in week one. Well,
yeah.
And that's the backup.
He's the backup. He would start on so many teams.
Yeah. What about you, JJ?
Well, I'm like you. I don't play fantasy yet either. I just play fantasy baseball. But but maybe after this, you guys will get us both going, and we'll start doing this. But yeah, I mean, I did have down was Carson Palmer because I thought he was going to be extremely fired up. So I had him, and Murray.
We can look to the local game here in Los Angeles. We have the Rams and the Seahawks.
Rams were their first regular season home game
in Los Angeles.
In LA in 23 years, something like that.
Yeah,
and they're at home against the Seattle Seahawks.
Who they notoriously play really well against.
Yeah, it's weird. It like is. For
they
some reason
for
the Rams beat the Seahawks in both their meetings last season.
That's right.
Now it is a different team. I would look at Seattle's defense in this one.
And I would also say to not look at the Rams quarterback.
The Rams have no offense, period, if we're judging by Monday. So let's just move on.
The one player...
I would love this to be the surprise upset of... I would just love it.
It may be, because the Rams do play the Seahawks really well. They can't play like they played on last Monday night. Mm-hmm. The one player in that game for the Rams that everybody would have in fantasy, Todd Gurley, the running back, was not good in week one, but that's because... It seems like everybody's game plan against the Rams is going to be to stack the box and not let them run against you and see if they can pass it against you. So we'll have to see if LA makes any adjustments.
Question on the Rams, because we kind of talked about it before. So would you guys put in Goff?
I don't know if I would. If I put him in against a division rival, let alone one of the best defensive teams in the NFL for his first game, that would be coaching suicide. I would definitely keep him out of this game. Week 3, maybe jump him in.
Here's a start. I would at least let him put the shoulder pads on.
Yeah, have me suited up. Suited up just in case someone gets hurt.
I want him at least to be on the field in uniform. Can we get to that? He was the first pick of the draft. You traded everything for him. At least let him get the uniform on. He doesn't have to go into the game, but can he at least be on the sidelines in uniform, feel like he's part of the team?
We both talked a little bit before. Our biggest concern was, I don't know if you guys watch Hard Knocks or not, but when you have a quarterback who doesn't know where the sun rises and sets, it's a little troublesome because that should be a really smart player there behind running your team.
And speaking of rookies, one more fantasy player to look at, rookie Ezekiel Elliott of the Cowboys. They are at Washington against the Redskins. We saw what D'Angelo Williams did on them last week. Ezekiel Elliott, I think, will have a strong game as well.
I like that.
And let's wrap the show up, let's look at a preview to next Thursday's game. So we got the Texans at my New England Patriots.
That's right.
minus Brady. So we got Garoppolo on the short week at that point. Do you think a short week will have a big impact on an inexperienced quarterback like Garoppolo?
I do. Absolutely. I think the one thing that we saw from the Patriots in week one was that Bill Belichick had a lot of time to game plan, because preseason doesn't matter. So there was a lot of time to get ready for the Arizona Cardinals, whereas in the next week after this weekend's game, the Patriots are going to have 3 days to game plan for this Houston Texans team, which has J.J. Watt on defense, has some players, and a coach by Bill O'Brien knows Bill Belichick, and it's going to be much more difficult, I think, for Garoppolo. And that's going to be an interesting game next Thursday. I think it's going to be an exciting game.
You got a score? You want to predict a score?
Yeah. Well, let's just note that we're doing this on Thursday, and there's going to be a whole weekend, so we don't know if something happens to each team and stuff. But if I'm going to say it early, I'm going to actually say that I think that Houston will go into New England and win that game. And I'll say maybe 24-20.
All right.
Houston.
All right. Jill?
Yeah, I bypassed the game projections just because that's not my strong suit. Do you know? I mean, really, for the same reasons, though. You don't know what type of injuries are going to come out from those short week games. Sunday, I can't remember. I should have put those matchups in. Who New England faces this Sunday.
They face Miami. Okay. I can help you with that.
Yeah, that's your team. That's how you know.
Home against Miami.
I just feel that the position that Garoppolo's in, 3 games and short game on your third week. Miami is sort of on the downside. I'm sorry, Michael, right now. So not going to be as much of a challenge, but I just think that coming back off of that, he might shock me, but I just don't expect a lot from them in that particular game.
JJ?
And I'm going to be the odd woman out. I'm going to go with the Patriots on this one.
Well, you're not going to be odd because I haven't gotten the pick yet.
All right.
But you have a score? You have a score?
I don't know. No, okay.
Nobody has ever lost taking the Patriots, by the way. The Patriots win almost all the time.
Yeah, so. But it's going to be a close game. It's going to be a very defensive-minded game. I don't think I think it will be Garoppolo's weakest of his 4 starts.
Sure.
I think Osweiler's going to have a little bit of trouble, too, because he is still getting to know this program. Short week for him, too.
Absolutely.
I'm going 16-13 New England on that one. So a lot of field goals in that game.
And definitely a game you're going to want to watch, because both of those teams, if you ask me, are both going to be in the playoffs. So you're looking at a good early season matchup next Thursday night.
Yeah, and we're excited to be talking about football with you guys every Thursday here. And you can keep the conversation going on various forms of social media. Michael, how can people reach out to you?
You could reach out to me on social media at Mike Rips, MikeRips.
Right. You can find me, Jill Monroe, at Stiletto Jill, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, or Jackson Stiletto Jill for all your sports and pop culture gossip.
And I'm at JJ Juergens on Twitter and Instagram. And you can also find me at TomGirl.tv.
All right. And you can follow, I guess, my alter ego for now, at Real Rosenberg. And I will be, actually, next week's my bye week, because next week I will be in Honolulu performing in the Hawaiian Improv Festival. Woo-hoo! Get your tickets for that. They're excited that I won't be here. It's great. I'll be performing on the 23rd and 24th. Get your tickets at improvaganza.com. And for all your other AfterBuzz TV news and gossip, follow them on Twitter at AfterBuzzTV. Thank you so much for tuning in to Thursday Night Football After Buzz. For Michael Rippey, Jill Monroe, and JJ Juergens, I am Josh Tariff. We will see you later.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.